In July of last year, the government launched the Three Waters Reform Program, which is a three-year program designed to reform local government's three waters service delivery arrangements. And those three waters are drinking water, storm water and sewage or wastewater. So today's announcement will bring together three waters services, which are currently delivered by 67 councils across New Zealand, into four water services entities. Well, the debate on this is already heating up, and with us to discuss it further is Stuart Crosby, who's the President of Local Government New Zealand. Good evening, Stuart.
Good evening.
I've been seeing those ads online for a little while now, but like most people, I wouldn't have known exactly what they were advertising, but now we do know. Is that what they call subliminal advertising?
I believe so. A lot of our sector isn't particularly pleased with the style of those ads, although they're asking a question to New Zealand, is this the type of water systems you want moving forward? And certainly there needs to be some change, but the debate is the proposal the right change for the country for the next 30 years?
Yeah, they do paint a very grim picture of the state of New Zealand water, even if they are done in a cartoonish way. And I imagine that some councils who have been delivering good quality services to their ratepayers wouldn't have been too happy.
No, they're not. They've caused quite a lot of concern in our sector, and we've raised it with the Minister, in fact, the Prime Minister at the same time. But that aside, the debate has to continue. Are the 67 authorities at the moment able in the next 20, 30 years to deliver the standard of water that we require in the future? And there's a lot of conversation, a lot of data to be analysed, and still a lot more detail to be requested from the government in terms of how these four entities may operate. And there's a whole range of concerns at the moment that our sector has in terms of questions moving forward.
Is it really a debate or a done deal?
Well, we're assured both by the Minister and the Prime Minister that at the moment it's a voluntary situation if councils wish to stay involved in this process. And we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. But some of the key issues are around the prospect of privatisation, where councils will lie in terms of having up to 30% of their business removed. Where is the issue in terms of mana whenua and iwi placed in this whole conversation? And a range of other issues as well, which are really around construct and ability to have an influence in these big water entities. For example, a small council like Clutha, how would they be able to influence a big whole South Island authority?
Well, you were on the Three Waters Working Group, so are you for the reform as it stands?
This project is run by the government, and we've been invited into the table for the conversation, which we appreciate, and we've been able to shape some of the thinking at the moment. In terms of Local Government New Zealand's position, we do accept there is a case for change, but when you drill down to each authority, all 67 of them, they all have a different idiosyncrasy to them. They're all slightly different. So some, like Whangarei, for example, believe already that this is not good for them. There are others that would suggest that they'll buy into it. Probably the larger metros, not including Auckland, of course, that have growth issues that cannot, at the moment, supply the services for growth, let alone into the future. So there are a range of opinions and options, and we're just waiting to get more detail, and we've got till, as you say, the end of the year to make a final decision.
Well, councils had until today to make a decision as to whether they signed a memorandum of understanding, and that's what Whangarei obviously opted out of. They also said that they couldn't get enough information about actually what was going on to make a decision.
Well, that's right, and the memorandum of understanding was for some stimulus money, which has been allocated now, some several hundred million dollars up and down New Zealand, but that's only part of this whole process, which goes through to 1st July 2024. So in terms of these entities being actioned, it's a long way away. But again, the big call has been for, as you rightly say, more information, more detail. How are these entities actually going to operate, and what input will councils actually have? Apparently, they will co-own them in the particular regions as has been described. But what does that really mean in terms of influence in the decision making?
Yes, so under this reform and these four water service entities, who's paying and who collects the money?
Well, as we understand, these entities will own the assets. They will run the assets, and they will bill independently outside of council the consumers for the services provided.
Well, that will get a lot of people feeling very worried about what happened with power in New Zealand.
Correct, yes, about privatisation and in a way also to the telecom industry as well. Now, we're being assured, and we have seen some detail, which in part has been announced, that the government of the day will make every endeavour to prevent that. But I think, as Mayor Gough has indicated, you know, a government could do that tomorrow, it could do it in 10 years' time, it could do it in 20 years' time. So that is one of the key concerns. Water is a huge environmental issue. It's a fundamental reason, and drinking water is for sustenance of a community, and that cannot and should not ever be privatised.
So Phil Gough, at the moment, we've only heard short sound grabs, but he doesn't support the proposal as it is. Is he likely to shift on this?
That would really depend on the end package. Auckland City Council will have to decide that. There is support at the other end of the scale, Karen, for some of these proposals. And there are those that are just waiting to see the whole package so they can make an informed decision to engage with their community as to whether they move forward by the end of the year in supporting or otherwise of these proposals.
What does he mean when he talks about control over the new entity? What's he referring to?
This is one of the big issues of concern at the moment. So the proposal is that these new entities will be independently governed, and that the actual control and say by councils is through what we call a statement of intent. In other words, a document to say that, you can have a say. Now, we have a similar situation of what's called council-controlled organisations, which Auckland has a number of, and so do councils. And it's not a perfect connection in terms of influence. So, as you know, Auckland City have gone through a major council-controlled operational review, and they've found a lot of failings and issues with regard to that. So I believe Mayor Gough is making that comparison about what control and management will the councils actually have over these entities, because they are one, sometimes two steps removed from the council themselves.
Okay, so what's going to happen to organisations like Watercare, who, even though they are ultimately owned by council, they're separate to Auckland Council in that they don't receive any funding from them, and they in turn don't pay a dividend to council? Will they simply be dissolved?
Correct. There would be no Watercare as you know it at the moment. It would be merged into a new entity that also takes into account Northland and the far north as well.
So all of those people who work for Watercare, for example, might be looking for a job.
Well, this is a big issue that we're also raising with government, what we call the transitional issues, because the transition is 2 years. It's not going to happen tomorrow. And what happens to all the staff? How can they be protected? Because these are highly skilled staff in the main. And if you read what's required looking for the next 20 or 30 years, another 5,000 to 6,000 staff are required. So in one case, that's a great opportunity if you're a younger person looking for a career. But we have to hold what we have already because they're a scarce resource at the moment.
What about Wellington, for example? As we all know, they've got huge problems there with their three waters. They've got crumbling infrastructure. They've got major finance problems. So how's it going to work for them? Who's paying?
Well, if you looked at Wellington, they'd be part of a lower North Island regime, including the top half of the South Island, in terms of one of these entities. And all their assets would be pulled into this new entity. And as I've said before, that entity would run the operation to be able to borrow more money to help fix the infrastructure, not just for today, but also provide resilience in terms of particularly in those earthquake-prone areas, and also look for things like climate change, Karen. A lot of our sewage plants and ponds are at a very low level, and looking ahead, they will have to be relocated. So this is why the independent experts have analysed that the bill looking ahead is somewhere between $120 and $185 billion for the next 30-odd years. And can councils actually manage that kind of debt with all the other issues that they have to pay for and manage as a council would normally do? And this is all part of the mix and all part of the debate.
All right, so that would be paid for by government. Like, if let's say we have to fix Wellington's water. All of that infrastructure, government would cough up the initial, or taxpayers would cough up the initial money, and then to use that water, further down the track, the ratepayers would pay. Is that how it would work?
No. The government won't cough up anything.
Right. Okay.
For that, you know, we'd be certainly seeking, if this proceeds, some form of funding for losses, etc. But how it works is these entities will be able to borrow more in terms of infrastructure, and that's not unusual that you do borrow for long-term infrastructure, and they will get the revenue that they charge for the services for all the consumers, one, to fund the entity and help pay the debt back as well. So there will be no major government funding into these water entities as proposed.
Right, so if they need any money, these four new entities, they're going to have to borrow it?
For their new projects, yes. Obviously, they'll inherit an entity that will have revenue coming in immediately in 1st July 2024. But for new projects, new investment, they'll be able to borrow a lot more than councils. They will have to pay the councils back the debt that relates to their water services, though the council would benefit from that, but that's not the key issue. The key issue from councils at the moment is the potential to lose their assets, lose control and lose influence.
But where would they be borrowing that money from? I sound a bit ignorant, but I'm not quite sure where they'd get it from.
Just the usual markets, as councils would. For example, most councils use one agency called the Local Government Funding Agency, who have funded councils for a lot of infrastructure over the last decade, and there could be also other opportunities for investment as well. So it's not that the world or the country is short of money to borrow, but it does have to be paid back, and it will be paid back by the users.
All right, a lot of questions to answer, and thank you very much for just opening the discussion with us. Most appreciated.
Thank you.